This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. It is the Talking Cop. We are here for another glorious full-time match reaction. It has finished at Anfield. Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That feels like any chance of us winning the Premier League title buried 6 feet deep. I'm joined once again by Ashley and Kev. Ashley, that sucked.
Yeah, and I don't even know where to start, guys. That was so deflating. Yeah, it sucked big time. Double underline.
Yeah. There's no two ways of getting around it. I mean, Kev, there will be no silver linings today. That performance was absolutely abject, coming off of a humbling and embarrassing performance at home against Atalanta on Thursday. I think pretty much everybody expected a reaction from the Reds, and we did not get one, did we?
No, that was, created in well enough chances to win that game. And they were good chances. Poor finishing, brilliant defending, some outstanding saves. But ultimately, there was a lot of problems in that game. For all of the problems that we had, or self-inflicted, we created plenty of chances. And we didn't take them. And ultimately, Palace deserved their win. You know, they got the win. Keeps them safe. Keeps them, you know, they're not looking over their shoulder now. But we need a divine intervention to turn this around at the minute, because this run of form we've been in for the last few weeks, especially the last 7 days, has been brutal. Let's be honest, it's been brutal form, and form's like anything, it comes and goes, and when it goes, it vacates you like you wouldn't believe. And when you're in it, every little ricochet goes for you, and every bounce pass is in your stride, and you're deflecting shots in and what have you. But today, it just wasn't going to happen. I think we could have been there for another week and we wouldn't score. It was the most frustrating one. I think I felt it in the first half when that Diaz effort bounced and Henderson stuck an arm out. I just thought, it's going to be one of them. It just feels like it. You know, it reeked of it. It was going to be one of those days.
Yeah.
And that's how it turned out. It was just, we couldn't take our chances. It was frustrating beyond belief.
Yeah, no, I would be interested to see what the XG for Liverpool was for that game, considering that we put up quite the goose egg at the end of the day, because we did have plenty of rather gilt-edged chances. It's going to be a little bit shorter of a show today. I know we normally do about an
2.87.
hour. 2.87. There we go. So
they weren't bad chances.
Absolutely no excuse to not to not have at least one goal on the board. But yeah, it's going to be a shorter show today because all three of us have things to do. Kev needs to recover. I got to go to a birthday party. Ashley has to go to work. So let's get all the housekeeping out of the way first. Please hit the like button if you're in here. Lash all your comments in. We'll get through as many of those as we possibly can. But the most important thing is our charity fundraiser for 2024, the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin, Fans Supporting Food Banks in Liverpool. You'll always find the GoFundMe link in the description to the show, whether it's on YouTube, on any of the social media, on the podcast description afterwards. Please, please, please help us donate for it. We're also getting down to the final days if you're interested in taking part in the Talking Cop Golf Day, which is the 28th of June, I believe, at Ashburn Golf Club just north of Dublin. Get a hold of Gav at talkingcop1@gmail.com if you're interested in doing that. And get a membership for £3.99 a month, €3.99 a month, whatever it comes out to being, because it's all good. And we have lots of member shows. Big lineup news. I mean, Ashley, I was surprised that Allison came back in. That was quite a nice little surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I heard someone say the other day, you know, we've got a team that's struggling to keep clean sheets. Does the best goalkeeper in the world come in right away? And the answer is yes. And I wish it would have helped.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely made at least one massive, massive save. But I mean, the first 20 minutes actually were shambolic, just absolutely shambolic. I mean, it's 13 minutes in and they go up 1-0. Once again, the 21st time in 51 games this season that Liverpool have conceded the first goal, which is not title winning at all. But it's so easy for Crystal Palace. They play a few triangles down our right-hand side of defense. Tyrick Mitchell picks the ball up on the byline. He squares it back. Ezebarezie is in acres of space from 6 yards out and he puts it into the net. It's not good enough, is it?
No. It's basic. The problem in the first 20 minutes, everyone looked like they were terrified. The ball looked like a hand grenade. Nobody could pass it straight. Nobody wanted it. Nobody was making runs. Nobody was making space. Nobody was making angles. And for their first goal, it's basic midfield play. Curtis Jones followed the ball, and he didn't stay with his man. And if he stayed with his man, Eze doesn't get in that space in the first place. Konate is in the right spot to block the one across the 6 yard line. Virgil's in the right spot marking Matete in the middle. The space and the danger was Eze. If you watch the highlights of it, you'll watch Jones go to Eze. Eze lays it back. He follows the ball. Space is right there. The danger isn't the guy who's on the edge of the box, the dangerous Eze. Stop. And that cuts that out straight away. But it wasn't the only chance that they had. They cut us open a fair few times. But every single time they got through us, it was self-inflicted mistakes. Midfielders ahead of the ball. Nobody sensing danger. People dwelling on it, sitting on the ball, wanting too much time. At the end of the day, Palace had a week to prepare to play us. And it looked like all Palace did was sat and watched the Atalanta game and thought, oh, this is going to be a good idea. Let's play this way. It was a mirror image of how Atalanta set up against us with six players pressing us in our half. And as soon as we got into their half, they dropped into their shape 5-4-1. And they were really good and aggressive defending in it. It was a really well-worked, well-played half by them. We were just abject. We didn't have any ideas. And as soon as someone tried to go long, the forwards were feeding off scraps. I've seen a lot of people blaming the forwards for the first half. They're feeding off scraps and trying to create stuff for themselves. The only outlet that we had was Darwin running in the channels and trying to get balls over the top and work from there. And we created a few half chances. The Dean Henderson save was an outstanding save. Right, I'm convinced he knew fuck all about it. I say he knew absolutely nothing about that. He same as Alisson in the second half. He's just reacted. But that was my biggest fear. I was so deflated watching that first half because it just looked like completely out of ideas, completely out of belief. Call it what you like. It was so many things. Yeah. It just wasn't. We weren't at it. We weren't at the races at all.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, there's not enough negative adjectives that we could come up with to describe Liverpool in that game. Thanks to Tony Smith, who throws a £1.99 super chat in for us. I mean, you could have doubled that and got yourself a month's membership there, Tony, but we appreciate it regardless. After YouTube takes a cut, the rest of that will go into the charity fundraiser. So thank you for that. Ashley, I don't know if it was a good omen or a bad omen. I mean, I guess in retrospect, it was a bad omen. But shortly after they score, Virgil van Dijk has a little bit of a slip in our own half. And Jean-Philippe Mateta gets in. He chips Alisson Becker. The ball is rolling into the net. And Andy Robertson, I mean, that's a hell of a goal line clearance, isn't it?
That was spectacular. And in my head, I was like, this is going to be a turning point. Like, let's use this. Like, I was trying so hard to find all of the positives to take from the beginning of that game, because there weren't that many. And I mean, I was floored that he was able to even get it off the line. I thought that it was in when I first saw it. But you know, goal line technology and whatnot, it was a spectacular save. But it kind of was just indicative of like the collective anxiety that the whole team felt. You know, we saw that, like, I was watching that slip and I was like, oh my gosh, like now I'm even more anxious than I was 10 minutes ago. And it felt like that continued throughout the entire game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's at the 20 minute mark. I mean, I'm just commenting on the fact that everything we were doing was wrong. No touch, no control. The pace of our passes was poor. Our choice of passes was poor. We weren't marking any sort of space. There's this massive gap between our defense and our midfield. We were bad all over the place. And then, Kev, I felt that we settled into the game, and from about 22, 23 minutes till about 33 minutes, we had a flurry of chances. And this has kind of been a theme in the last couple of games, where we have a good 10, 15 minutes around the half-hour mark. Can't score. I mean, you mentioned the Diaz save at the back on that volley. Mo has his shot that's saved. Great pass by McAllister. But I mean, they have a counterattack shortly thereafter, and it just looks like they're just going to score. And I mean, we get into halftime and it's 1-0, and I mean, what do you say? I mean, you can't expect another three changes, because I don't think we were as bad as we were against Atalanta in the first half. It would be hard to be that bad in a first half again, but something needed to change, and the change ends up being Szoboszlai for Endo, who was well off the pace, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just looked like he looked like an old man in the middle of the park, wanting two or three touches, and everything was going around him at 100 miles an hour. It just wasn't his day. He had a bad day. He had a bad half. It was the right player to come off. I don't know what Harvey Elliott has to do to get a game in the middle of the park at the minute, to get into. I don't know what he's done or what he's not doing in training, because Szoboszlai, I understand why he didn't start. You know, he's looked off it for a while. Salah's looked off it since he's come back from injury. He's just not looked himself. He looks a yard pace short. But look, the change was made. It had to be made. I kind of expected there to be more than one, you know, but the second change came bang on 46 minutes, and that looked a nasty one. That injury of Conor Bradley looked a painful one, whether it's his ankle or his knee or a combination of both. But in fairness, he was caught wrong side of the ball and went in for a tackle. It wasn't Claire's fault that he tackled at all. It's just he tried to turn into a contortionist and ended up getting twisted like a pretzel. I don't know if you'll see him again this season. That looked a really nasty one. And there was a few things when Trent came on. I was amazed he wasn't taking corners. His knee or his leg isn't exactly right where it needs to be. But immediately, we upped the intensity in how we were playing in the second half, and we started creating more and more chances. But it just turned into one of those games. It wasn't panic, but it was the more chances we were creating, the more nuanced ways they found to miss them. Yeah. You know, some of them unbelievable saves, some of them great blocks, brilliant defending. Some of them outright fucking disastrous finishes. You know,
yeah.
And you can only go to the well so many times this going behind in games. You could that only works so much. And it's great that we had, you know, it was comeback ability. We were getting back into games and turning them around and winning them. But eventually, a side will get ahead of you, and you're not going to have a great game up front, and you're not going to score those chances, and you end up losing games because of how badly we start them. And it's not a one-off. It's not a two-off like the last game. It's virtually almost every game this season. The first 10, 15 minutes, we're pedestrian. We don't attack the game. We wait for the game to come, and then we try to play a 60-minute game or something stupid. It's ridiculous. It's you can't play games like that. I mean, look, we've said it so many times in this pod, in games like this side is overachieving this season. But it just is frustrating as all hell to see it fall away like this, because that's what it's doing now. It's just falling away this season.
Sure is. Boy, the last 7 days has really felt like the rug's been pulled up from underneath us. I mean, you say that we're overachieving, but at the same time, Kev, we're still underperforming. And Ashley, you threw this stat in that our shot accuracy was 37%. Theirs was 83%. Yeah. That goes along with some of the numbers I was seeing in the build up to the match about like the number of big chances that we're creating and failing to convert them. And like, I think it's, I don't know if it was in the last 10 games or something like that, but like our conversion ratio is like relegation level conversion ratio. And eventually
it's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Those numbers are going to pan out, aren't they? Like, if you're missing big chances, if you're not converting your shots, if you're constantly going behind, like Kev says, eventually you go to the well and the well's dry.
Yeah. And the thing about our style of play is so much of it is built off of these kind of tiny, minute details like pressure, energy, like the will to win, things that require a lot of mental effort. And it's hard because at this time of the season, you want there to be, you're almost working off of muscle memory. You can't always fall back on that energy every single time. You can't fall back on that speed of passing every single time. And it feels like we have nothing to fall back on. Like where we're so 100% dependent on those key ingredients. And that if any of those are missing, the whole team just falls apart. Because I was on the Telegram group at halftime and I was trying to ask everyone, like, can you pinpoint what's going on? Because it feels like it's not just one thing. It's so many individual things that are happening all across the pitch that are going wrong. And I just think the system is not set up to give the players like a fallback. Like there's nothing there for them to fall back on if like the press isn't 100% perfect, for example.
Yeah.
Press is funny things to sites, you know, and to players. We're under Klopp, we've been really lucky in watching some fantastic football, but we can't forget that this is a rebuild. This is a year one side that are overachieving, that are still creating loads of chance. I'm looking at the stats for the second half, and the stats only read so much, but we absolutely dominated the ball. We limited them to two efforts, one on target that Alisson saved. So we literally did everything that we could in that second half, bar finish. So it wasn't a case of the build-up play wasn't quite right, or well, we got into the place to score the goals, didn't finish. And that's ultimately what's cost us, is poor finishing. And for players in that second half, they did everything right. You know, everything in that second half, the build-up play, the chance creation, the winning the ball back in good areas, everything like that was fine in the second half. It's just, you have to take the chances, you know. And the midfield deserves an absolute pasting for the first half. But in the second half, they were better. They were much better. But still, ultimately, goals win games. And there's some of the chances. There's three glaring chances, I think.
Yeah, Darwin, well, Darwin. I mean, the ball lands to him and he just like he he blasts it, and I mean, it's right at the keeper. It's a point blank save. He just kick it anywhere but there, and that ball goes in. Darwin and Diaz get hooked shortly thereafter. Gakpo and Jota come on. I don't think either of the two South Americans that were taken off can have any complaints about being removed. Mo Salah might count himself as lucky that he wasn't also taken off. And then it's just, in my notes, it's just a litany of missed chances and me writing, why can't we fucking score? Van Dijk gets his head on a corner. Jota almost gets his boot on it at the back post. Jota has a chance basically on the goal line. He somehow manages to hit Nathaniel Clyne with it. You mentioned the save that Alisson makes. That's on 74 minutes. It's an incredible save. I mean, that's our Alisson there. Ashley, the one for me that is the most glaring, I think, is right after Alisson's save. We counter off of their corner. Mo pins Nathaniel Clyne. The ball comes to Gakpo, who I thought was quite good again coming off of the bench. He plays an inch-perfect ball to Curtis Jones, who does all the right things of running across his man. And then, actually, all he has to do is just hit the net.
You know how there was someone that was joking on Twitter about how we need, like, a 4-versus-2 coach or a 5-versus-2 coach? And I genuinely think we do now, because I don't know how many times we've had these breakaways and it's ended up with nothing at the end of it. And he was one-on-one with the keeper. And I just, the composure, it was just the composure that was lacking all across the board. That's for it. All of the different finishers. It wasn't just Jones, but it was every single one of our front players lacked composure today.
Yeah,
that's it in a nutshell. That is it in a nutshell. It's pressure, composure. You know, how many times are you going to see Curtis Jones one-on-one in that situation? I don't think I've seen it this season at all.
No.
If there was anyone in the pitch who you don't want it to be, I didn't want it to be him for a multitude of reasons because of the abuse he's going to get on the back of it. But just from a finishing point of view, I wish that player making that run through was anyone but him, because I never fancied him to score. I never fancied him there. If it was Szoboszlai, if it was Salah, if it was Jota, Diaz, Darwin, you'd fancy them a lot more than you would Curtis Jones. And, you know, he did everything right to get into the position and tried to cheat too much with taking Henderson out of it. Even if he ran past Henderson, there was nothing the keeper could do about it. He was getting a red card if he tried to take him out. You know, but it is, Ashley is absolutely 100% spot on. It is composure.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
Yeah, we picked a hell of a time for us to lose our composure and to absolutely fall to pieces. I mean, we were absolutely throwing the kitchen sink at it for the last 10, 15 minutes when you include the 7 minutes of added time on it. 89th minute, we get a corner and it's like, come on, like we got to score here. 91st minute, I don't even know what happened. I just put, how did we not score? And at that point, I just put my pen down and that was it. I mean, it's the first time since January of 2017 that we've lost consecutive games at Anfield with fans in the stadium. It's just, to go out with a whimper like this is just so, so disappointing. But Ashley, who do you think had a decent game for Liverpool? Because I would put forward Andy Robertson as probably the only one of the starters that put in a good shift today.
Yeah, I mean, I heard shouts on our Telegram group for Diaz, and he had energy, but, you know, I don't really think that he had any sort of composure. I think it was Robertson easily for me. You know, he was the one that seemed like he had energy and was pushing in the beginning. And yeah, obviously that goal line clearance is going to add a gold star to his little name at the end of the day. But again, it's just like we're sitting here and we're struggling to pick someone, and it feels like it was only a few weeks ago we were struggling to pick someone for the other reason, where it was like there were so many good players and so many good performances. And now it's like I can't find a single person minus Robbo to give plaudits to.
Yeah, what about you, Kev? Anybody stand out?
Robertson. Alisson looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Did everything you asked of him. I don't think there's nothing he could do about the goal. Even look, Virgil and Ibu weren't bad. You know,
I disagree with Kanate.
I thought Kanate was so
I think poor. They were I think they were absolutely hung out to dry. Completely, totally hung out to dry by
not on the defensive side. The issue I had with Kanate, sorry for interrupting you there, Kev.
Yeah.
His passing was terrible.
Which passing?
Canate's passing out from the back was really bad. Like, his balls up through the middle were to absolutely nobody, especially in the first half, just playing balls into space that there was just nobody there for. The knockdown headers, like, I can understand that Mateta is going to be a handful for you. You know, he's coming off of a rather chastening experience against Scamacca on Thursday, but you would expect him to be a little bit better. But defensively, I don't think the two center halves were bad, but I just thought that his movement with the ball was bad.
Yeah, he made 19 passes into their final third. But his long ball pass success rate was 25%, 2 of 8.
There you go.
So, but that's not his game. That's never been his game. His game has been carrying the ball through
midfield.
Why is
he trying 8 long balls then? If that's not his game,
because
give it to somebody else.
The idea would be to give it to Virgil, and that worked more often than not. That long cross diag into Salah or over the top in for Darwin worked a few times. But this is where fear comes in for me, where he wasn't brave enough to take the ball through their midfield to commit players to create space. There, he was terrified of going into midfield and losing it. And they're on a break with Eze and Olise. And they don't care about reputations. They will just rip you to shreds if you leave them space in behind. But for me, the back four were hung out to dry completely by a midfield who just couldn't be arsed with doing the basics of the game. I mean, when I say that they deserve a mention, they weren't shit. You know, it was midfield to a man were poor. Front three, living off scraps. Diaz, meh, didn't do much. Darwin, missed some glorious sitters. Salah looks a shadow of the player he was before pre-injury. He just looks like, I don't know, yard short of pace, no confidence. It's just not happening for him at the minute. But
yeah, he's got no venom left in that left boot. You know, those curling shots, like the chance he has in the first half, you expect him to at least really challenge the keeper, but it was a pretty tame effort.
It's not so much that. He doesn't have the yard pace at the minute to get away from defenders. Defenders are matching him for pace. Mitchell played really well against him. And to be fair, they doubled him really well between Mitchell and Lerma, who's traditionally a midfielder. When he stepped it from midfield in to make a back three, because that's what they did. The way their system works, Lerma will step into midfield when they're on the attack. But defending, he steps back into being a left centre back. And they double team up on Salah, and they did it really well. I mean,
yeah.
Robertson was our best player by a country mile, but best as in, like, it was a 6.5, 7 out of 10, because, you know, the rest
everybody
of
them else was a failing grade. Everyone else was
a
failing
grade.
Yeah,
no, it was poor.
Yeah, it's okay. We're quickly approaching the end, but I think it would be absolutely remiss of us if we didn't give Palace some plaudits. Bonkers LFC comment here says Palace know how to defend. And Ashley, they had a game plan. Like, we got out coached today, we got outworked, we got out muscled today. Again, this feels like Thursday show run back all over again, just without the embarrassing scoreline. But Palace did a number on us, didn't they?
They did, and I mean, they know how to defend, but I mean, they haven't really kept that many clean sheets this year. I mean, this is, I think, one of, I don't know, I probably only count them on one hand. I'm not 100% sure what the number is. I'm looking in my notes. But yeah, they don't keep clean sheets that often. They, a lot of times when they go up, they actually perform worse. And that was one of the stats that the pundits on my stream were talking about. They were like, oh, well, you know, if Palace go up, Liverpool have a field day. And you're right. They got that right today. And I think a lot of it comes down actually to that Atalanta game. And like Kev was saying, I think they sat and they watched that game. And I think they sat and they watched those tactics because there were so many echoes of that game, you know, whether it was like having Scamacca up at the top, really pinning someone. They did the same thing today with Mateta, and they did the same thing with the press of our midfield as Atalanta did. So there was a blueprint that was set up, and they executed that blueprint exactly the way that Atalanta did, just as effectively as they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Palace were good, but at the end of the day, we created more than enough chances to win that, not just win it, but to win that comfortably. You know, I mean, as good as Palace were, they were good on the counter. but they defended for their lives and got blocks in and put it in with a hurt and rode their luck at times, and keeper made some great saves. And that's what you got to do when you're going away to Anfield or going away to the Etihad or wherever. You ride your luck, and you get, and sometimes it works. Most of the time it won't. Most of the time you'll come to Anfield, play like that, you will lose. But today it worked for them, and fair play.
Jonathan says there,
some good players there.
Yeah, Jonathan says last time Palace won away was November Burnley. I think that might have been the last time they won, actually. Glasner came in, won his first game, and then after that it was a series of draws, and they were starting to flirt with the relegation zone. So that's a huge, huge result for them. Ashley, you got some quotes here from Andy Robertson?
Well, there aren't that many quotes coming out. Klopp hasn't said anything. But from Andy Robertson, it says, first half we were poor. They had enough chances to be 2-0, 3-0 up. In the second half, we had enough chances to win two or three games. You have to take your chances. The boys in front of goal have to do better, but the boys at the back as a defensive unit have to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
no one needs to tell Curtis Jones that, you know, you have to miss that. You have to score there. Or Darwin Nunes. No one needs to tell him, but no doubt in my mind, there'll be plenty of people online in their Instagrams telling them, and then some. Look, at the end of the day, take your licks. Take your licks, take your loss, move on.
Yeah, and hey, I mean, I like this from Brian O'Halloran, a slight silver lining. He says, and yet, win the remaining six league games, 89 points. We've slipped up twice, which is what I expected. City and Arsenal will slip up at least once. I don't know about either of you two, but I don't see City slipping up at all coming down the stretch.
No, just not after the... No, definitely not. I think they might drop a point here and there, but at the moment I'm struggling to work out where we're going to find form.
It
comes and goes. It could be a light switch moment that something happens in a game and it just flicks. You'd never know, but it can go. It can come back as easy as it went, and it looks like we're just out of form at the minute.
And
that's what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty much enough from us, because like I said, we've all got things to do. Kev needs to go and get rested up, because just the 10 pints last night, eh, Kev?
I don't know, mate. I lost count. I just know how much I spent, and I did the basic maths. And yeah, I shouldn't be doing that at my age.
Well, I mean, it seems like you might have had one or two of the Liverpool squad out there with you last night, because some of them in front of goal looked like they were nursing a 10 pint of Guinness hangover as well, too. But I mean, it was an extremely, extremely bad day at the office for us. That is now three absolute shite matches in a row for Liverpool. But all we can do is chin up and go on to the next one. Maybe tune in and see if Aston Villa Arsenal can produce a little bit more excitement than we had in ours. Because, yeah, not a fun way to get your Sunday off and running for those of us that game happened at 9 in the morning. But anything else before we get out of here, Ashley?
Hopefully it can only go up from here. I hope it doesn't get any worse. Look, but
absolute worst case scenario is we're going to be playing Champions League football next year.
Yeah.
And, you know,
is it mathematically guaranteed?
And that's the worst, not guaranteed, but that's the pretty worst funny case scenario that we will end up with this season, and we'll have a parade on the Monday.
Yeah. Yep.
Worst case scenario.
Yep. Yeah, well, either which way, I'm still coming over. I don't care if somebody accused me of having super Jonah powers. Even the fact that I've planned a trip to Liverpool means that we capitulate at the end. I refuse to take any blame for that. Gavin Walsh from the Telegram chat was at today's game, so he gets the Jonah crown until the next time we drop points. But we have indeed dropped points. We've lost our second consecutive game at Anfield with fans for the first time in over 7 years. Feels like the league is slipping away from us, and now we're sitting around hoping for other teams to do us miracles and for the unstoppable Man City juggernaut to somehow trip up and not waltz their way to a fourth straight league title. So finish at Anfield, Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 1, an absolute gut punch. But Gavin, the lads, will be back in a couple hours tonight to try to sum things up. I'm sure there'll be some talk of bottle, attitude, choking, all of those things being thrown around, and hopefully somebody can give us a bit of a rallying call to carry us through the final weeks of the season. But thank you everybody for joining us. Throw a like on the video, rate us 5 stars on your podcast app. Please, if you can, share and donate to our charity link that you'll always find on any of the channel stuff, because that is the most important thing. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys after the next game. Bye-bye.
Sports Sports Social Podcast Network.